an insider's look at the National Football League.
That's a W. How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
Time for NFL Lunch.
Cooked you a turducken. There it is.
He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Sponsored by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, hour number four. We're getting rolling here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's a football Friday. We're going to get to the phones here in just a second. But first, a few tidbits from around the NFL today on a Friday. Start with last night's game. Of course, the Lions emerged victorious, but came with quite the cost. The injury tax we're talking about. Brian Branch. Now, this morning when I woke up, they said feared Achilles injury, but now it's full-on confirmed. Torn Achilles.
Yeah.
That's a big blow to that defense.
Oh, that's a huge blow, especially to a defense that has had a lot of guys out, you know, this season already. So, yeah, that's just another blow to the secondary and probably their best secondary player.
Right, and he's already signed. I was just looking for the contract. I was wondering where he was at. No, he's on his rookie deal. So he's got this year, 2026, and then he'll become a free agent. So that might shake out time-wise. That might be tricky for him. It's unfortunate timing. This late in the year, it'll cut into next year a little bit, maybe.
Well, we had December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. He'll be ready probably July or August.
Okay. So, yeah, even with a little setback, he could be ready for the season. And then over to Philadelphia, more injury news. Defensive tackle Jalen Carter now week to week undergoing procedure on shoulders. That's plural, I'm seeing here, both of his shoulders. Strange season for him. Season didn't even get off the ground with the whole spitting incident against the Cowboys. And then since then, probably been more closer to his usual self. But now this injury, Philly's already going through it right now. But to lose one of your best defensive players, not a good sign. Monday night, they got a tough challenge traveling out to L.A. to face the Chargers.
And I think Hampton's going to be back for the Chargers, you know. Mm-hmm. And look at what the Bears just ran all over them.
Right.
And Jordan Davis was playing, you know. And without him, that's going to create a huge hole because that is a huge man.
All right, let's get out to the phones here. We've been hearing predictions from the people all day long. We'll start with Kevin in Ellicott City. Kevin, happy Friday, man.
Happy Purple Friday, Vinny and Nolan. What's good, fellas?
Doing great, man. What's up?
Chilling, man. Chilling. We're trying to get ready for this game. I think it's probably one of the more unpredictable ones, but I just think it's going to be back and forth, punches. I would love to see our offense handle the flow of the game a little better, have some answers, get some completions early. But can we please put Isaiah Likely at wide receiver?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that's been a common kind of talking point really since he got here, just trying to find a way to get him in.
Why, if I may ask?
I think he would be available in middle yardage type plays, Vinny. I just think he's got great hands. I think he would really be that secondary scapegoat like Mark Andrews has always been. And I just think we could find space on the field because I want to give the ball to people to make plays.
Yeah. I could see putting him in the slot and those kind of things, but lining him out wide, I don't think he is sudden enough to be able to get open from a corner.
Yeah, I think it had to do with a couple things. One was the blocking. Like, he's just not, it doesn't give you anything blocking wise. So, you know, put him in more of a traditional receiver role. And we've been begging for the Ravens to get both him and Andrews on the field together. And if you're not going to do that through two tight end sets, which I understand is something that isn't the most common thing in the NFL to have two top tier elite receiving tight ends on the field together. But, you know, what can we do to just get our best players on the field together? I mean, I think that ship has ultimately sailed though. They would have tried it. I think that, you know, if it was worthwhile doing it, it would have been experimented with.
Yeah. Well, the biggest problem is if you have Andrews and Likely both on the field, neither one can block.
Mm-hmm.
They both stink at blocking, you know? So, I mean, then are you telling people, okay, well, if you run it, we're happy, you know, that you run it because you got basically two less blockers,
mm-hmm.
you know? So, I mean, that's why I think Kolar plays so much is because he can at least, or in attempts to block.
And when we talk about these prospective Ravens free agents coming up here later this hour, Charlie Kolar, we'll talk about him. The ship has sailed on Isaiah Likely, but For Charlie Kohler, personally, I'd like to bring him back. Obviously, the price has to be right.
Yeah.
And you don't know how attractive he is on the open market. But, I mean, I think he's a guy that's ready to ascend to a number two tight end. I mean, he's reliable hands. I'll give him that.
He's got reliable hands. The biggest, you know, he's 6'7". So he's got build-up speed. He's a long strider. So, like, his ability to separate and stuff, no, he's more of a zone receiver and red zone type guy. That's what he is. And he's just an adequate, at best, inline blocker.
Mm-hmm. Let's get another call. Mike's in Parkville. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hey, Vinny and Nolan. What's up, man? Hey.
I can't call it.
Hey, Nolan, it's been a while. I haven't talked to you since we was out at Dick's Sporting Goods out in Whitemar.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
I'm all right, man. And Vinny, I just want you to know the Boxville is my once-a-month place now. I love the crab cake. But anyway, yes.
Put that crab cake on the Greek salad.
I'm going to try it out, man.
Yeah, try it out.
But look, I was thinking about Lamar, man. To me, Vinny, and y'all have more of an insight than what I do, but Lamar don't seem like he's playing as a hurt person. He's playing like somebody he just don't want to be bothered. He just acts like he's not really into the game. It's like, when he get in there, you see him on the sideline, he be joking and, you know, playing around and all that and stuff. But when they get out on the field, he throw a overthrow or underthrow, he slamming his hat down and stuff. He just don't seem like he got that, you know, behind it. Like when he like really out there trying to like make something happen and stuff, it just seems like he's not the same person he was last year. That's what I wanted to say on him. And the other part is that I don't understand why they don't use D-Hop as much as they do. If you don't watch the Ravens game from start to finish, you wouldn't even know D-Hop was playing the game. It's like you hear his name called maybe once or twice here and there, but you really don't see him. And it seems to me that the Ravens really don't are not really a good team as far as like developing receivers and stuff like a Pittsburgh or the Patriots are. It's like we get these top-notch receivers in here that they're veterans, you know, but that the Ravens really don't use them the way that they, you know, they don't get everything out of them that they can.
Well, the thing with D-Hop is, you know, he's not going to create any separation. So, you know, you got to throw him a back shoulder. You got to throw him something like that because everything that you've seen him catch is there's somebody right on him. There's somebody right on him, you know. And for a quarterback, you know, you've just got to make up in your mind, I'm going to him no matter what because it's going to look like he's not open and you're just going to hope and trust that he's going to catch it.
Right. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah, I mean, look, I'm definitely in the camp of wanting to see more from DeAndre Hopkins. And I almost wonder if he played for either he was still in Tennessee or played for a similar team, you know, somebody who's not a real contender. Now, he might not be happy with that, but let's say he's automatically a starting wide receiver still. You know, people just assume, all right, 33 years old, he's over the hill as far as receivers are concerned. But when I watch him play, I think he's still got it, man. And the hands are the biggest factor. Like you said, I mean,
he's got hands.
If he's not open, he's still open. And that's where when they signed him and they made that crazy catch against Buffalo in week one,
mm-hmm.
I was daydreaming about what he was going to be able to do for Lamar this year and red zone threat and just be that downfield guy that can go up and get it, what we've been asking for years and years and years. Somebody that's going to help out the quarterback where even if they aren't perfect, he can make a play. And that play in week one was certainly evidence of that. But it's like if he gets two targets a game, that feels like he's lucky.
Yeah, it's just the biggest thing is, you know, he doesn't have speed and he's not going to win. You know, if he runs a slant route, it's going to be contested. You know, all those things. And he doesn't make much yak yards either. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think he's a starting receiver. I think he's, you know, like a situational guy that you can take advantage of his skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just curious. If he was getting a starter's workload, what would his stat line look like? And I don't think it'd be great. Well, we'll never know. We'll never know now, that's for sure. Coming up next. Week 14 NFL picks, college, big slate of conference championship games this weekend. We'll get into all of that. Ravens free agents at 1:30, and then we'll wrap things up with the Funhouse. So if you want to send a text in and you can't call, same number, 410-583-1057. We'll read those at the end of the show.
Vinny and Haney's Football Pick'em starts now. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
All right, it's time to do it. Week 14 picks in the NFL and the conference championship games in college. A real quick standings update as Bob, Vinny, and I make our picks all season long. After last night, Bob and Vinny were with the Cowboys. I went with the Lions, so that means me and Vinny are now tied up once again. It's all knotted up here, 189 and 102 our records. And Bob's still 18 games back, but you never know. It's got to start somewhere. Why not this week? We'll start in college with this matchup here, North Texas versus Tulane. The Mean Green versus the Green Wave. Something's got to give when the green teams meet. North Texas favored by 2.5, but I'm going to go with the Green Wave of Tulane.
Yeah, and both coaches have taken other jobs. I think one going to Auburn, the other's going to Florida, I think. And I'm going to take Tulane also.
Let's see here. BYU, Bob's taking Tulane, by the way. BYU versus Texas Tech, your largest spread here of the conference championship weekend. Texas Tech favored by 12.5. Bob, obviously, doing the BYU thing, his allegiances to his wife. He's got to make that pick. But us, I think we're a little more rational here. Texas Tech, right?
Texas, they played early in the year. I watched the game, and BYU got spanked down at Texas Tech. So I'll take the mini Mahomes, Texas Tech.
Georgia versus Alabama here. Bulldogs favored by 2.5. What's the implications here?
If it should be none. Okay. Both should make it, because if Alabama got penalized and didn't get in, then you're penalizing a team for playing in a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see the loser of this game still will be in, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to go with Georgia. Bob's taking Bama.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia also.
Indiana versus Ohio State, your top two teams in the country meeting here. Your top two Heisman favorites as well. Ohio State favored by 4. They've got that elite defense. Bob's taking Ohio State. I agree. I think they finish off perfect record to close out the regular season.
I'm going to take Mendoza. I'm going to take Indiana. Home game for Indiana, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's 40 minutes away from Lucas Oil Stadium. I'm just going to, you know, I mean, IU went to Oregon, at Oregon, and won a big game. So I think Mendoza.
And lastly here, Duke versus Virginia for that dreaded ACC this year. Spread is 4 in favor of Virginia. I don't want to see it. I do not want to see the 5-loss team in the CFP. I know the committee can still, we got a lot of things to fix when it comes to the CFP. I'll just say that. But either way, I'm taking Virginia here.
Now, two weeks ago, Virginia went to Duke and won 34-17. And then they just beat Virginia Tech also. So they've been playing pretty good football, Virginia. So you know what? I'm going to switch. I was going to take Duke. I'm taking UVA.
I think that's a wise choice. Bob agrees. He's on UVA as well. Over to the NFL, starting with Seattle at Atlanta here. Seattle favored by 7. Just one of those teams we talked earlier about who's the most complete. Maybe under the radar consideration for Seattle, besides some of Darnold's turnover concerns this year, I think they're pretty close to complete, so I'll go with them.
Yeah. When Darnold is playing well, no doubt about it. I'm going Seattle.
Bob agrees. Cleveland hosting Tennessee this week, 4.5 in favor of Cleveland. Talk about it all the time. A much better team at home. I'll take them here.
I'll take Shadur.
All right. Bob agrees here. How about Chicago at Green Bay? Huge game here in the NFC North. Chicago trying to hold on to that top seed in the NFC. 6.5 in favor of Green Bay, though. And I think just being at home, they're starting to roll a little bit. They're starting to click. Nothing against the Bears. I still think they're good, but this is just maybe too tall of a task.
Yeah. Although Ben Johnson, when he's at Detroit, they won, I think, 3 games in Green Bay. But I'm still going to take the Pack.
Bob's on Green Bay. Now, this one's interesting. Washington, Minnesota. It's being played in Minnesota. They're favored ever so slightly by 1.5. But quarterback's returning here. Jaden Daniels, healthy enough to go for Washington. And old number 9 there, J.J. McCarthy, back from Minnesota. They're saying, odds makers, that it's a pick 'em, but I'm actually going to lean Washington.
I'm going to take Washington also. I think Jaden Daniels will, you know, he can move around, and he'll be able to make some spectacular plays against their rushes and blitzes.
We're agreeing too much here. Bob's on Washington. How about Miami at the Jets? Jets got that win over Atlanta last week. But this one here, Miami favored by 2.5 on the road. I can't do it again. I can't pick the Jets back-to-back. I'll take my victory lap for last week. I'm not going to make that same mistake. Give me Miami.
Yeah, I'm taking Miami, too, to make it, what, 4 in a row for them.
And Bob is going against his never-pick-Miami-again trend yet again this week.
Man, we all got
him here. This could end up being where we're all in agreement because a lot of these games...
Yeah, there's a couple, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. About New Orleans at Tampa Bay, this is definitely one where we all agree. Tampa, yeah. For sure. Indy at Jacksonville, another big implication game there in the AFC South. Jacksonville all of a sudden looking like a legit team. And Indianapolis kind of faltering here as of late. Even still, the Colts favored by 1.5 on the road. And I think they get that bounce back. I don't like Jacksonville at all. I refuse to pick them.
Indy never wins in Jacksonville. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Here we go. Finally a difference. Bob's taking the Colts. Skip over Ravens Steelers. Denver, Las Vegas. This one being played in Vegas. But yeah, Denver, that defense is legit. They'll keep it rolling. 7.5. We all agree there. Cincinnati and Buffalo. Be interesting. Cincinnati backs against the wall. How much does that Joe Burrow factor matter? Well, the odds makers say 5.5 in favor of Buffalo. And I'm going to go with the Bills in this one.
And Bosa's out for the Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, the defense is only getting worse. I'm taking Buffalo. And you know what I got to do, Nolan, real quick? I'm going to look up the weather, what it's going to be in Buffalo.
Good call. Bob's on the Bills as well. We got the Rams and the Cardinals. This seems like an easy one, especially with the Rams coming off that loss to the Panthers. They got to get that bounce back. It's a road game, but come on. 8.5, they're favored by. Go Rams, right?
Yep, sure. Rams. Now, the Buffalo weather, Nolan, for Sunday, 65% chance of snow, high of 31.
Ooh, don't tease me like
that. You know it's going to be windy.
Don't tease me like that. How about Houston and Kansas City, your Sunday night game? Another exciting one. Kansas City favored by 3.5. This feels like their last stand. Again, if they lose this one, you mentioned Miami, very winnable game for them against the Jets. Chiefs and the Dolphins could have the same record come Monday morning. That would be unfathomable. I don't think it happens. I think Kansas City keeps themselves alive here.
I'm giving Kansas City one more shot, Nolan, at home. I'm taking the Chiefs.
I mean, it could be like 14-10, 14-13, because that Texans defense, man.
Yeah, and they can rush the passer, and Kansas City's O-line is not good. And we saw what happened, what Philly did to Kansas City in the Super Bowl when Kansas City couldn't block them. I'm taking Kansas City, but it's not a strong take. Let me just say that.
Well, Bob's on KC as well, so not a lot of difference in opinion from us. But let's get to Ravens and Steelers. Thought about a score here. We were joking with Jonas Schaefer earlier that 21-13 is probably one of the most common final scores in Ravens-Steelers history. The spread here favors Baltimore by 5.5 at home. My score, I'm going 24-14. Ravens win this one. We mentioned it a couple segments ago. There's no more excuses. There weren't any last Thursday for that matter, but now it's even more important with the division on the line. Winner of this game has a 70% chance of winning the division. The loser has a 20% chance, roughly, give or take a few percentage marks. I think the Ravens get it done. Even if Lamar continues to look sluggish, I think they will ground and pound. I think Henry will have a good game. I think Keaton Mitchell will have a bust-out game as well. They'll do enough to win.
I got Ravens 24-13. Now, let me just say that if Lamar runs the ball more than 10 times, they could be in the 30s.
But we're
just remember that.
Right. But it's got to be designed because, I mean, I could see a scenario like
no
that.
No design.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, he could, if he has 10 carries, it could be that he's running for his life.
Well, I'm saying
that
if design. I'm saying he has those 15 like he had in the playoff game.
Yeah, fair. Fair point. All right, those are our picks for the week. We will check back on Monday morning and see how they look. Coming back on the other side, we're going to talk about the Ravens' prospective free agents. They've already locked in Mark Andrews with a 3-year extension, a step towards solving their tight end room a little bit, but there's plenty of other notable free agents left. Vinny, I'll tell you which one is the most important, and if you want to get in with a last-second call, we'll take you as well. Samaj, I see you on hold. We'll get you when we come back. Stay tuned. Vinny and Haney continues. Let's grab a call before we get into the Ravens free agents. Let's go to Samaj in Gwen Oak. Samaj, what's up, man?
What's good, though, Mac? Best host slash producer in the game.
That's right. What it do?
What's good, Coach?
What's happening?
Not a whole lot, man. Coach, I'm going to run something by you on the college ranks, and I'm really curious as to what your thoughts will be. First off, though, as far as Ravens and the Curtain Crew, it's going to be the typical slobber knocker. You know, records don't even matter. Positions don't even matter when we get together with them boys. But I'm looking at a typical slobber knocker, 19-15, 19-14, something like that, 21-18, something like that. It's going to be – I doubt if it beat the over by any stretch of the mean. So I don't care if the over-under is at 40. It might be under. But anyway, that's that. Now, Vinny, I want to talk to you a little bit about Locksley and the Terps football. I just has been mulling in my mind for quite some time. Now, we know Locks is going to be around for another year. Mm-hmm. For every man, he can prove himself as a worthy head coach and not just a great play caller, because right now, after 5-6 years, I'm just looking at he's just a good play caller. You know, some guys just ain't meant to be successful head coach. But I like Locksley.
Yep.
I think Coach is a tremendous recruiter, the best recruiter Maryland has ever had. So I would like for them to maybe move him up to work with Jim Smith and maybe play that GM role that now schools are looking for, dealing with the NIL and the transfer portal and all that kind of stuff. I wouldn't want Locksley to go at all because he's too key to bringing in the talent. But if things don't go that way, if the season doesn't go well next year and there is a change, what are your thoughts on the Terps maybe picking up a different style of play within the conference that makes them unique and a challenge to play? Because I'm wondering, where the hell is Ken Niumatalolo? I think he's out back on the West Coast somewhere close to home to Hawaii. But I was just thinking, if you brought in that Navy-style run game, featured run game, with a coach like Ken Niumatalolo, with Locksley bringing in the talent that he could bring in, how do you think that would bode in the Big Ten Conference football-wise? Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
I think it'd be bad. You know, then the reason why I say it would be bad is no quarterback, no receivers are going to want to go there. You know, I mean, why would you want to go there? You're not going to throw the ball. You're going to run the ball. You're going to be like Navy. So, no, I don't think that would work in the Big Ten. Just because you would have to get players that you'd have to get an athlete at quarterback that can kind of throw and run. And I don't see it. You know, especially because teams play you a lot every year. So they're going to get to know what you do. So no, I don't like that at all.
All right, let's get over here. We've been teasing this for a few segments now. Ravens prospective free agents for 2026. Now I know we're much more focused on this Sunday, the rest of the season, and a potential playoff run. But when you look at how dire of a situation this is shaping up to be, it's never too early to start looking ahead a little bit here. And a lot of key names here, but to me, after the Andrews domino fell, it seems like the top two biggest names left to decide between, or maybe they could keep both, but for the sake of argument now, we'll say that you can only keep one of these guys, Tyler Linderbaum or Travis Jones. And I could go back and forth on either one of these, because if you lose either one of these guys, the cupboard's pretty bare otherwise. It's hard to find a pretty good quality center. You spent a first-round pick on Tyler Linderbaum. Traditionally, the Ravens do not let their first-round picks walk in free agency. They give them at least some sort of extension, even if it's short-term. So that would be something to keep an eye on. Daniel Falele is also a free agent. We can assume that they're probably going to replace him. Even if he's back, it would be as a depth piece. So you're looking at replacing multiple O-line spots if you don't keep Linderbaum. And then Travis Jones on the D-line. Well, this all hinges on Madubuike. You know, if he's not able to continue his career at all, that places even more emphasis on Travis Jones. So if you had your pick, Vinny, who are you going with?
Yeah, I mean, you just mentioned what I was going to bring up is the Madubuike is the biggest question mark because, you know, and then if Madubuike has to retire because of medical reasons, what's the cap ramifications? You know, that would be the thing there. I mean, I can make a case for, like you said, I can make a case for both guys. You know, J- just because I've got a franchise quarterback, I would probably give the edge to Linderbaum then. Because I gotta get my O-line better. That's the biggest thing. I gotta, you know, because I'm going to have to get a left tackle probably. You know, how much longer, you know, I got to get somebody that can come in there because I don't know how much longer Ronnie's going to be there. Emory Jones Jr. will be somewhere in there. And I got to figure out Rosengarten's deal. And I wouldn't, you know, you never know with O-line, you know, like somebody may love Falele and somebody, you know, he may get some money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't, right player, right price. That would be.
Your guy Ben Cleveland, also a free agent again.
Well, and then Vincent, you know, has got to develop also. And because, you know, I would think that ideally that's who you would like to eventually play left tackle, but I don't know when he'll be ready.
The nod for Jones here would be the fact that he's on the upswing, playing the best football of his career and has gotten better year after year after year while taking on an even bigger workload. And he's been able to handle that and shoulder that very well, even though you obviously would prefer him to get a little bit more of a breather during the games. But Linderbaum, I'm with you. That O-line, how important it is, the clear biggest weakness on the team this year. I don't know, man. I think I might lean Linderbaum just because. But even then, I'd be so nervous about giving out that contract because what if what we're watching this year is actually the real Linderbaum?
Yeah.
Then you just wasted
money. Do they think of Corey Bullock? You know, because he was snapping the ball there. I mean, if they really like Corey Bullock, then, you know, it makes it easier for you, you know. And if they think that Linderbaum is 100 times better than Corey Bullock, then, you know, I'm going O-line.
Here's an interesting secondary debate. Neither of these guys are going to break the bank, but when we talk about the structure of the Ravens' defense and how important it is to keep Kyle Hamilton as a free-roaming piece, you need two actual traditional safeties on the back end. You got one with Malachi Starks. He's locked in. But Alohi Gilman or Darius Washington, both unrestricted free agents this year. Gilman has done a great job since coming over in that trade, really helped stabilize things. And our Darius Washington now back off IR. We'll see what the rest of the season looks like for him. I think that's ultimately going to be what swings this decision. But right now, you got to lean Gilman, right? Just because of the health factor.
Yeah, I would definitely go Gilman. The nice thing is you got two guys you like, you know, so maybe you take the cheaper of the two.
And really, again, depending on what happens with Ardarius, maybe you could keep both. That Ardarius would be so cheap at that point. But who knows what he's going to be looking for. Some other guys to keep an eye on. Again, it's not really much of a debate here. I call these key role players, Patrick Ricard, Jordan Stout. I mean, Stout's having the best year of his career.
Oh, Stout's a guy that he's going to get a little bit of money.
You're looking maybe $4 million for him. That'd be a top-end punter contract. And then Pat Ricard, I don't know. I mean, we were talking about it during one of the breaks a little bit earlier that, you know, they got to experience life without Patrick Ricard for well over a month to start this season. And all right, O-line aside, that was a big part of it too, but it was not good. It was not pretty without Patrick Ricard. So the price is the ultimate factor here with Patrick Ricard, and maybe his price comes down a little bit because of that missed time, but we'll see. Again,
I think it all goes to, because I really like the flashes of the Army kid, you know, the kid who's on the practice squad. I can't remember what his name is now, but he was an offensive tackle at Army, starter at tackle, you know, and he showed some things. So maybe a year after practice squad, he'd be younger and he'd be cheaper and he'd be just as big.
All right. Well, it's something to keep an eye on as the rest of the season progresses. And then obviously into the offseason, we got one more segment before we're done for the day. If you got a text, get it in on the Plaza Ford text line, 410-583-1057. We're right back here in a few.